Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpvc.org.
We're coming to close Ephesians, a Gentile church, and we have come to the part Paul's teaching these Gentiles of the great afflictions they're going to see. You know, that's quite contrary to what you hear in the world. You see Joel Osteen standing up there. Yes, I'm calling names. I'm not going to call the name of an order of faith or our brethren and sisters and other orders of faith who are other types of Baptist or Methodist or Catholic because they're trying to worship God. I'm talking about those that deceive, those that are wolves in sheep's clothing, those that are wicked and fleece God's people. You see Joel Osteen standing up there smiling. Everything's going to be good. God's going to bless you. Just send me your money. And you see Benny Hinn up there claiming to heal people and wanting millions of dollars to go here and there and do things for God's people. God does not need Benny Hinn. God does not need me. God does not need money. God works His way in heaven and earth. You see the woman Joyce Meyer. She lives in a fortress with a fence around it. And I've said enough about that. But I want you to understand, Paul is talking to these Gentiles in the flesh after giving them the mystery of the revelation that they were children of God if they love God because God is in them, teaching them, as Steve has told us, to abide in Christ, to worship God. And he says, because of that, you're going to suffer affliction because they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know about you, Steve, but it seems to me the closer we get to Sunday morning, on Saturday you go and you try to read during the week and you do the things you do and meditate and pray and you feel excited about it. But then come Saturday night, at least me, when I lay down, the sins of my flesh come to my mind. It's hard to even get to sleep because of the things that Satan throws at you, the wiles of the devil. He knows the things that bother you. He knows the things that hurt you. He knows the things that you've done before that come to your mind that haunt you all night. He knows the things that would lead you astray and cause you to have a sleepless night, cause you to have sorrow, cause you to turn aside from God. That's the wiles of the devil. The devil knows how to do that. Well, Paul made the statement, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against princes, powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness of this world. And he told us to take upon us the whole armor of God that we might stand in the evil day, loins girt about with truth, a breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Don't tell me the gospel does not have power. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not eternal, but temporal. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The power of God in the gospel, it is our foundation. Christ, what is the gospel? Christ, the manifestation of Christ, the preaching of Christ. That's important to know. You've told us about abiding in Christ. The gospel teaches us to abide in Christ, to walk with Christ, to turn aside from the world. And above all of these things, above all, taking the shield of faith. I've never had a shield at work. That's something we don't use anymore. But you can see the Roman soldier as we began, as Paul is using that to explain to us the armor of God, the shield of the Romans. Of course, different shields for different people, different military people, different types of soldiers, what I'm trying to say. A footman would have a different armor than one upon a horse or one in a chariot. And I'm not going to take the time to get into all the shields. You can do that yourself. But a shield is to protect you. A shield is to protect the one who bears it. God gave you a shield. This is the armor of God. God created it. God made it. God manifested it. God designed it. It's all of God. And God gives it to each and every one of His children. Do you want that are born of the Spirit? Take the shield, your protection of faith. What's the purpose? Wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Wicked people? Yes. We're surrounded by wicked people that try to change society to turn from God. I don't have to mention that. I've done it enough. But he's talking about resisting the wiles of the devil. Faith. The shield of faith. What is faith? I love the scripture. It is the word of faith which we preach. It is a gift of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I'll tell you how they hear without a preacher. That's the first step. When you hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, John chapter 5. But the text in Romans is speaking of the preaching of the gospel and the manifested militant church of God, those who are going to take up their shield and their cross and all the things that God supplies and denies themselves daily, crucifying themselves to the things of the world, striving to glorify God. To bring forth fruit as we've been taught unto God. What is faith? Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay. What is hope? Well, I hope it don't rain today because my grass is getting too tall. That's something that you have no knowledge of, whether it will rain today or not. That hope is a grasping at straws hope of something unsure. That is not biblical hope.
Right.
Biblical hope, Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is your hope. Your earnest expectation for every child of God to come forth from the ground or be changed, their body and spirit and soul brought back together and stand with Christ in eternity where we shall dwell with Him. That is the purpose of all things in this world at the end of this world. You want me to prove that to you? For the creature, the body of man, was made subject to vanity. Was not Adam vain? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. God did not make him sin. God did not make him a sinner. But we're talking about hope. Made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Remember, God knows all things, declaring the end from the beginning of time, before it ever came into being when God spoke it. God foreknew all things. God would give you hope, an expectation. An earnest expectation to be carried from this world, which through Satan's deceit and through Adam's transgression, the fallen world in which we live. He said, because God has subjected the same creature in hope, mankind, his people among mankind. Natural man receiveth not the things of God. He doesn't have the Spirit of God, therefore he does not have hope, biblically speaking. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, born of God. First fruits of the Spirit. This in particular is talking about the Jews, who were the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and the first century church of Gentiles. But it's dealing with every child of God eventually. Today's time. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Talking about hope. For we are saved by hope. What kind of salvation is that? There's only one thing you're saved in eternally. The blood of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. This is speaking of living in the world. Remember this mystery revealed that the Gentiles are heirs of the saints of God and the kingdom of God in the world. For we are saved by hope. He's given you by the fruit of the Spirit, faith, going back over there, talking about hope at the moment.
It's the shield of faith. Hope is part of faith. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience likewise wait for it. And bear in mind, tribulation worketh patience. No, Mr. Osteen, it's not going to be smooth and rosy when we take up our cross to serve the Lord. We're going to be persecuted and hated by those of the world that are not God's children, governments of men, and all the things in the evil society of this present evil day world. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, does that tie together? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Steve told us that. Galatians 5:22. It is a gift of God for your benefit, for your comfort, that you might know God, that you might serve God, that you might love God, that you might bring forth fruit unto God and love God's people and love the brotherhood. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The faith and the knowledge that when the Son of God appears in the eastern sky, that He shall say to those that He has placed on His right side, His sheep, His people. Those He says in John 10, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they know Me, and I give unto them eternal life. That's the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what we have a knowledge of by the fruit of the Spirit. And the preaching of the gospel manifested. The word of faith, God's word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Let's touch on a few of these. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, everything around us, were not made of things which do appear. What's he saying? That God by faith reveals unto us that there was nothing but God eternal. There was nothing created. And God spake and it was. Period. We have faith in the knowledge of God. We have faith in God. This shields us from the fiery darts of the wicked. By faith we dismiss the lie of evolution. By faith, we dismiss the lie of absolute predestination of wickedness and sin. Because the Bible teaches us, and we know by faith, that it was good and upright. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Cain brought of the work of his hands from the earth. God had respect unto Abel, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Testimony. That cloud of witness that teaches us in the recorded, inspired word of God that Abel was a child of God. And that as Abel served God, and Abel tried to love God and walk with God, that God loved him, and yet by faith we know and understand that even as he was persecuted unto death, that he is with God in glory, seeing the face of Jesus Christ. Faith, brethren. Can you understand how that teaches us by faith that those that are the Lord's, that are dead and gone, are not in sorrow. They're not just dead in the grave. They're not in the depths of hell. They're there with Christ above. Faith, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. By faith, Enoch. I love that. For Enoch walked with God. For he was not, Galatians 5:22 it begins, I believe. And he was not, for why? For God took him by faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Think of the day that Enoch lived. Why would Enoch have to live by faith? It was a wicked generation. God was about to destroy it because of its wickedness. Do you not think Enoch was persecuted, was ridiculed, and had to suffer the reproach of Christ in that day? Certainly so. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. God took him. How did he do that? He translated us. He should not see death and was not found. He disappeared from the eyes of man and from this world because God had translated him. God took him, body, soul, and spirit, to the eternal realm of heaven above without him tasting death because he had this testimony that he pleased God. What does he say in the sixth verse? Because without faith it is impossible to please him. Don't tell me about how good your faith is and how good we are. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. You get it from being born of God. You've got no choice in being born. God gave you birth. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God provides that for you. It's part of the armor of God, the shield of faith, to protect us from the onslaught of Satan, to protect us from the wickedness in the world. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Don't tell me faith does not give you belief. God is settling us right here. It does. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Why do you believe? Because you're born of God. What is being born of God? What is eternal life? John 17, I've given eternal life as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. What is faith? It is the knowledge of God planted within you by the Spirit. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Here's abiding in Christ. For he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, that's hard to do. It was hard for the Jew to do, the natural Israelite. And they were brought up and trained in the way of God, but that wasn't mixed with faith, Hebrews says. But then we see these Gentiles, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. Oh, you've got some tribulations coming. Stand in the armor of God. That's no different from a child of God born of the Spirit today that's walked in the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. You've got some tribulation coming. I'm sorry, Mr. Oldstein, I'm not going to send you my money. Mr. Benny Hinn, I'm not going to send you my money. I'll give it if I'm going to give it to somebody that needs it. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that reward is the presence of God with you in the faith that God has put within you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for saving his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Genesis chapter 6, Noah. The whole world was wicked, but Noah was good. No. Oh, Noah was a deserving. No. Noah is a child of God, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him birth. God gave him faith. God spoke to Noah by faith. Noah believed God. Yes, we believe in God. James said the devils believe and tremble. But we don't only believe in God. We believe God. We believe what God says. We believe God cannot lie. We believe God cannot die. He cannot age. He does not get tired. He is eternal, self-existent. I am, that Steve began telling us about. Noah believed God. Noah spent 120 years preparing that ark. Living in a wicked generation, suffering the reproach of Christ. Yes, in Genesis 6. Christ is not new. He's eternal. The fruit of the Spirit is the knowledge of God. Faith. Well, tell me, who is God and how is it manifested? Christ. Noah had faith. moved with fear, reverential fear of God. I'm sure he feared what was coming too, but primarily a reverential fear of God, and moved the saving of his house. What in the world has that got to do with us today? Abide in Christ, he told us that. Walk with God. I don't care what the world thinks of me. I don't care what the ungodly think of my God. I don't care what society does or what garbage is on TV or anywhere else. My concern is for fear of my God in heaven that I love and strive daily in prayer, saying, Lord, I fail. Lord, I fall. Lord, I'm miserable. Sometimes I feel like Moses, kill me now, that I will not behold my misery. But God always picks me up, and he does it by faith and the knowledge of God, that shield of faith by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Because Noah believed God. Those that did not were condemned. God manifested that to us in these eight souls of the promised seed through the one man, Noah. Think we got a small church, you realize what God will do for one man. In Ezekiel, he said when he was going to destroy the kingdom, though Noah and Daniel and Job were in it, I'd save them, but I would not save this people. That's a testimony to their suffering and living by faith and what God will do for one man who strives to serve him. By faith, Abraham, when he's called, went in a place where he should have to receive an inheritance, obeyed. Didn't know where he was going. God didn't tell him, you're going down to Georgia, you're going to Florida. God said, get up and go. I'll show you. I'll lead you. I'll tell you when you're there. And when you get there, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed for an everlasting possession. And Abraham went, sojourned in the land of promise amongst strangers. Do we not live among strangers today? Are we not sickened by the things that happen in society that goes on around us? The shield of faith, brethren, it protects us. The knowledge that God is going to deliver daily and deliver eternally. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're still looking for that city today. Hebrews 13 says, in verse 14, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're looking for the same thing Abraham did in the eternal realm of glory. And God gave him a kingdom in this world to suffice for his benefit unto that day. Through faith, Sarah conceived. This woman with a womb was dead. And through faith, Abraham, who was, what does it say? Good as dead. And therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars in the sky and multitude, children, seed of Christ. Speaking of believers, because Abraham believed God. It's a testimony to God. It's a testimony to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but seen them afar off. Let me get to Moses for a few minutes. I can't skip over this. Genesis 22, when God commanded Abraham to take his son, to whom all this seed was going to come through. Now, you want to talk about belief? You want to talk about faith? You want to talk about a gift from God? This man from whom all things were going to come through, Isaac, the promised seed of that day, take him and sacrifice him. I'm going to suffice this to say it this way very quickly, very briefly. Abraham saddled his ass, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness, left the young men that went with him, took the wood and his son and the fire up unto the mountain to sacrifice his son. He went to kill him because God told him to do that. And then God's not going to tell you to do that. Let me tell you that first of all. But I want you to understand that by faith Abraham did this knowing. I didn't say believing. I said knowing that even if he slew his son, that God would raise him up. As two went into that mountain, two would return. And Abraham knew that. by faith in the Almighty God of heaven. He talks about Jacob blessing Isaac. He talks about Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, and I want to touch on this in the last few minutes I got today. By faith, Moses, when he was born, well, we've got to obey every ordinance of man. Yes, the Bible says that. But it also says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. When Caesar is being what Caesar is supposed to be and not overstepping his bounds and into the realm of God's rule, then we obey Caesar. I've used this many times, I'm going to use it again. If Caesar in this country, and by the way, we don't have a king, we have a constitution, which is highly corrupted by an illegal government this day and age. But, when our government starts telling us that you've got to murder your children in the womb because we're overpopulated, are you going to obey every ordinance of man? Or are you going to do like Moses' parents did, like by faith, and you're going to hide your child? God, by faith they did this, a gift of God. By faith Moses was placed in the river. By faith Moses was placed in the river, was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. By faith, that's the providence of God ruling in this matter. By us having faith in the knowledge of the providence of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Do you know what Moses did when he was 40 years old, a time of judgment, 40 years old? He slew an Egyptian who was smiting a Hebrew. The Bible says he did that by faith. The Bible says thou shalt not kill, and what it means is thou shalt do no murder. There's no doubt in my mind that what Moses did was wrong and immoral, but he did it by faith. God called him. God used him. Then he became afraid, went to the backside of the desert. Midian, who's Midian? The descendants of Abraham. Read Genesis 26. Stayed with them another 40 years while God judged him there. The first time judged him by faith of all the things of Egypt. Second time judged him by what he had done. Judged him according to what he was going to do. Judged him according to turning him away from himself and to God, the faith of God. And called him upon the mountains at 80 years of old. You think we're getting old? Look at Moses. 80 years of age when God called him forth to deliver his people out of the land of Egypt. And by faith he delivered them. By faith he went down. And faith in this sovereign God of the universe that is able to do as he wishes and desires in heaven and earth. By faith they crossed the Red Sea. There was one man had faith there that day. Again, what God will do for one man. Moses. All the multitude of Israel stood in unbelief. By faith they crossed the Red Sea. By faith they had kept the Passover. Think about that. Living in this great land of plenty and beauty. And we're going to put blood on our door. How stupid would that appear to an unbeliever? But by faith, the knowledge of God. God gave them these things. They kept the Passover. God parted the Red Sea. By faith. That's why Paul says, above all, while we live in this wicked and perverse generation, take the shield of faith that God has given you, and wherewith ye shall be able, because God gives it, God enables, God carries in faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I will tell you this, and I believe this. You read the Old Testament and you see God's children, and when they're coming into the land of Canaan, the people would hear about what God did with them and they'd run and hide. If God's people today would stand in faith and come to the household of faith and do the things that God has given us to do of putting Him first in all things and loving Him and loving His kingdom and His church and the assembly and the sons and daughters of Israel, the children of God,
I'll tell you, there's not a nation or a people that could stand before us.
Yep.
Take the shield of faith.